Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And since we're not traveling in France, we're going to travel on the radio to France this January, because we usually do. And one of the coolest things traveling is that, and it's easy to rent cars and all that sort of business, but it's not the most fun driving in January, super long distances. You can get to places really quickly on the TGV, which is a super high-speed, comfortable train, and you will see people's pets on there and whatnot. It's sort of an interesting situation. So where do you want to take the TGV first from Paris?
I think we should go to Beaune. I love the city.
So Beaune in the center of Burgundy, the home of Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and the first charity hospital in the world. And do you have favorite haunts in Beaune?
I do. We used to go to a restaurant called Benetton, and I think it would be interesting to follow this restaurant because, we had an amazing meal there the first time we ever ate there.
Once.
And then we walked back to our hotel in the snow. It was just like this amazing trip and wonderful experience. And then we took staff back. It was probably 2 years later.
And they had one-star Michelin, and the restaurant was significantly inferior.
Yeah, it's like their heads exploded or something. So I would be curious to see now, because it's been several years since we ate there, to see what's happening at Benetton. But Beaune is a small village. There are a number of...
It's a very walkable town.
It is.
Too.
It's super. And it's enchanting, and there's so many... Oh, my goodness. I can't remember the name of the cheese shop in the middle of the village, but you don't have to know the name. It's there. It's remarkable.
Yeah. A couple of landmarks to know in Beaune. One, there's a lot around the Place Carnot, Carnot. The cheese shop you're speaking of is right on Place Carnot. There's a couple of different gourmet shops there.
And great places to buy wine, great places to buy kitchen tools and kitchen books.
Two blocks away from a terrific hotel that's super romantic, super interesting. Could not be any more sort of discombobulated and crooked and wonderful. It's a bunch of townhouses all strung together from the 1600s. It's called Le Cep. L-E-C-E-P, and CEP is the name for porcini mushroom in French.
Right.
And these things, and it is like these houses sort of grew together like crazy old mushrooms.
So all the rooms are different. And if you stay there, we've been staying there for years, and we've had staff with us, so you get to see their rooms, and all the rooms are just really amazing. We had a picnic in our room one time when we were there.
The staff always get a kick out of the fact that there's a giant fireplace, and everyone sort of gathers in front of the fireplace after dinner or something, or before dinner, something like that.
And you can walk everywhere, like you said. Yeah. The name of the little bistro where we get the steak tartare, can you remember the name of that? Because that... Oh.
Le Gourmandin.
Yeah.
Le Gourmandin. That's right on the Place Carnot.
That's great.
And one of my probably three favorite bistros in France is right there.
Yes,
you know this.
Ma Cuisine.
And you didn't believe me the first
time. I
didn't.
Well.
So tell me what happened when we went back the second time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we had the squab the second time.
This is where I get to be right.
And this, yes, you were. Yeah. Well, I like old world looking things. And when I walk into a restaurant in a ancient village, I want it to look old, not modern. And so I was kind of,
The name of the restaurant is My Kitchen. It's kind of like it's like a 1990s French kitchen. It's Fabrice's kitchen.
Well, and she's an amazing, now obviously I have the greatest of respect for her. She's an amazing chef. Her husband is, obviously an amazing wine procurer, and their list is unbelievable.
Pierre knows his stuff.
Well, and I met the original pastry chef from Chez Panisse when we were there. She was eating in the restaurant, which was a great moment for me.
Because she clearly likes to eat.
Yes. And so we had the squab, and then the next night we went back, and I couldn't wait to have the squab again. And one of the guys from one of our restaurants was sitting next to me, and after we ate he had the squab as well. We ate the squab, and we both looked at each other and said, you want to split another one? I think that's what a gourmand is.
Well, I think that's the sign of a bistro you want to go back to is the one where you like a dish so much you can't stand it, and you have to have more of it right now,
and you can't stop thinking about it. It was so amazing, and we had a sauterne there that was.
We had 1924 Rabot Premier.
Wow.
Was a sauterne that was there.
It was so good. Well, we always drink so well when we're there. And there are always a bunch of winemakers in there. It's a very small restaurant. I mean, you just feel the culture. You feel, where you are when you're at Ma Cuisine.
Yeah, that is the center of the Burgundian wine trade. And that place is like the heartbeat of people who just want to drink those wines, talk about those wines.
Mm-hmm.
And her cooking is so solid and satisfying.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
There's the two dishes that I particularly love there. One, in the summertime, usually she makes a terrine with both sweetbreads and foie gras, kind of in a country style, with just a little bit of gelatin. That's fantastic. And maybe my favorite sort of rustic dessert in France is she does this essentially burnt almond tart.
Oh, yes. You do love that.
It's almost like almond toffee that's kind mm-hmm. of almost charred on top.
I love how her pastries are all sitting out. You know, I just love that they're not afraid of things like that. Well, and her pastries are really very, very good. She's a good chef.
She's about the only completely unprofessionally trained chef that I've ever gone into a restaurant with you, and you're excited for their cooking.
Well, and, you know, the products in the area are amazing to work with, and it's the same thing, you know, anywhere in a town like that where you have farming right around you, and each one of these regions has their specialties, and they're so embedded with these specialties, you know, whether it's the chicken from Bresse or, you know, the squab that Guy Julien gets down at La Beaugraviere.
So let's take the train down to...
Let's take the train to
the Rhone Valley.
Okay.
To Avignon is the stop, mm-hmm. and then north of Avignon, about 40 minutes, is Châteauneuf-du-Pape, the great wine-growing village. And not that far from there is, I know, one of your and my both favorite restaurants in the world, La Beaugraviere. It's in the town of Mondragon.
Yes. And close to Cournasse is that little village before, too, isn't it?
Is further north.
Okay, and that is ancient and really a beautiful little stop. But what we do is we stay at a place called Rochegude, and it's a very small village, and it was the judicial palace for the popes. Well, I guess we should talk about what is Châteauneuf-du-Pape. So that was a summer home.
Yeah, Châteauneuf-du-Pape was the summer home of when the papacy moved to Avignon in 1305. They discovered in the summertime that Avignon was quite the smelly town. They needed a summer home with fresh air from the river, the Rhone River. And so the town overlooks the bend of the Rhone River there.
So their main palace was in Avignon. Then their summer palace was in Châteauneuf-du-Pape.
Yeah, essentially a day's ride north.
So Rochegude is the palais, the judicial palace, and it is now a hotel. And the rooms are, you know, if you get a regular room, they're not that pricey. It is a small village, so it's not as bad as, you know, obviously as Paris or something.
But it's a pretty magnificent old palace.
It is gorgeous, and you have this amazing view of the Rhone River, the Rhone Valley, and across to Mont Ventoux, which is one of the highest peaks in that mountain range.
That's a very easy place
to
travel around from, too.
It is. It's so great to drive that area. I mean, Côte Sud is all of about 5 minutes from Rochegude, so you can go there and have lunch and sit outside or sit inside and have very typical local cooking.
But in January, you want to be eating truffles, and the two great places for truffles in France are Tricastin, which is very close by to La Beaugraviere, and Guy Julien, who's the chef and owner of that restaurant, is nicknamed the Roi des Truffes, the King of the Truffles. And he gets the best that we've ever seen.
He does. It is amazing.
And often the large, ridiculous things, I think, almost like novelty truffles, something mm-hmm. the size of a small pumpkin.
Well, that's a fun thing, too. When we have staff with us, you know, they see me working in the kitchen with half a pound of truffles. And then when we go there and he is this, you know, amazing, has this amazing ability, he'll bring out jars and bowls of truffles that are just...
There's a photograph. We're gonna have to post it on the site. There's a photograph of Carrie, who's our bread baker, one of her hands next to two truffles that are as big as her fist on a plate.
So good. And his food he is my favorite chef. And I say that because I completely identify with him, and I greatly appreciate his ability to just get the best flavor out of his food. His food is not fancy. It's very steeped in, you know, cooking of that region. And he is just a very, very good chef. And he makes a chicken almost demi-douille with potato puree or pommes puree and an amazing truffle reduction sauce. The truffle is underneath the skin of the chicken as it cooks very, very slowly in a moist environment. And oh my goodness, I mean, that chicken is... You could cry when you eat that. And then, you know, things like the frisée salad with truffle, or he's even given us just a little hors d'oeuvre that's, you know, like one of the greatest gifts, which is a great piece of baguette toast with melted butter on it.
A crouton with a fat, thick slice of black truffle. You want to take a second and explain what a truffle is? Not everybody listening is going to know what a black truffle is and why we're so fussy about it.
The black winter truffle, Melanosporum, is the scientific name, is a mushroom that grows in the root systems of trees, particularly oak and beech trees. There are a lot of different types. I think they grow in chestnut, but, you know, you can look that up. But it's growing, and they... There are some people in the world who have figured out how to cultivate, but really it's not been figured out. So they really are wild mushrooms.
They can cultivate like C-grade.
right, exactly. not the great mushroom has not been able to be cultivated. So they hunt them. They use two with pigs because the pig is attracted to the scent of the truffle. And so, you know, these areas where the truffles grow are closely guarded secrets. And eventually they've taught dogs how to, and of course the dogs are a little less abusive to the land. So you don't want to do anything to disturb the whole spore, or whatever the system of the actual mushroom's growth. So the dogs are actually a better hunter.
They're trainable.
They are trainable. Pigs are not, of course. So,
you can train a pig, but if a pig is 350 pounds and has found the truffle, you're not going to stop them from eating it.
Yeah, right, and mushing up the area and the land and ruining the environment.
Maybe Haloti Nada will stop him from eating it. Otherwise, you're not.
Oh, truffles. So yes, so that's what. You can get summer truffles. They're very different. Nowhere near the perfume.
No.
The name is Burgundy truffle. But anyway, so what we like are the black winter truffles from the Vaucluse. Yeah.
Exactly. The legend of that restaurant, to me, in a lot of ways, is he's been so good at cooking the traditional cuisine of that area, mm-hmm. and doing it thoughtfully. Like once a year, he introduces a new dish, and then once in a while it stays on the menu, and once in a while it doesn't. So the menu has evolved maybe 3-4 dishes in the course of 13-14 years. But everyone is a winner.
Absolutely.
One. And two, so many wine growers around the Rhone Valley want to go to this restaurant in truffle season. He's been trading them forever wine for eating there. And so that cellar has been stocked over
the
years.
Amazing.
With amazing, amazing wines, especially from the Rhone Valley. But it's funny, sometimes to me the treasures, because everyone's in the Rhone and they want to drink the Rhone Valley wines, there are wines from Burgundy, especially some of the white wines of Burgundy in that cellar, that are ridiculous. I'm not going to even say what growers, but growers you will never find in the U.S. that are legendary, has giant vertical collections of, and people sort of neglect them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those conversations I always have with them, which one of, grower X's wines are you going to drink this time, because no one else will drink them.
Right.
Because they think they're in the Rhone, and you're just a few hours away from
Burgundy.
And
right.
It's...
His cellar is a, the whole thing is a gift. His wife is lovely. She runs the dining room. Danielle, we've known the head waiter for, since 1999. He's still there. And his daughter actually has started to work. And yeah, it's a family-run restaurant. They do have a couple of rooms, so that's another thing people should think about. If you do want to go to this area, they obviously definitely make plans. They don't have that many rooms in their place. It's very simple. But you could actually stay there.
I want to take you to one more region real quick, and it's a very different train ride, because we often have taken this trip to Burgundy and to the Rhone Valley because they're relatively contiguous on the same TGV path and on the same highways. If you were going south and west, and a lot of people think of France, they think almost immediately of Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great growers to visit, and it's an interesting experience because they're much more sort of formal visits at the various chateaux. A lot of times you visit growers in Burgundy or the Rhone Valley, you're visiting farmers, essentially, who are also winemakers. And in Bordeaux, there's a much larger estates, and usually you're visiting a property owner that has a winemaker. And it's a lot more suit jackets, let's say, in Bordeaux.
Definitely.
And not that far away from there, maybe the 3-star restaurant where I've seen you happiest is the restaurant of Michel Gérard.
There's no question.
So talk about what that restaurant is like. Pré Déjeuner is the name of the hotel and spa and restaurant. But Michel Gérard is a chef, and he's, 81 probably now?
Mm-hmm. He was part of the Nouvelle Cuisine movement, and he also started something called Cuisine Minceur. His wife, his girlfriend at the time, told him, maybe if we're going to get married, you might have to lose a little weight. I think she probably said it very, very nicely. And kind of looked at himself and said, okay, right. So then he came up with Cuisine Minceur. So he is all about beautiful local French cooking. And it's light, it's bright, it's fresh. It's, really moving away from if you have a good understanding of what classic French cuisine is, the cooking of the early 1900s had lots of roux, very heavy sauces, might have even had a lot of spices in it. You know, you're talking about cooking that was sort of masking perhaps some inferior meats and things like that. So, you know, you're talking about, these are chefs, someone that's 80 years old, you're talking about a chef that was alive during that time and has watched this, or has been a significant part of making this lightning of French cooking.
Yeah, I think of his food, and I think of there's a lift, there's a perfume, there's a purity to his food. The setting is gorgeous.
His hotel is lovely.
Exceptionally beautiful. The staff is lovely. The treasure, the sort of unknown thing, is there's so many Bordeaux wines with a lot of maturity in that cellar that have been there since they were purchased.
That's great.
That to me, for like the wine hunter, that's the amazing thing.
Yeah, the meal we had at his restaurant was my favorite meal I've ever had in my life. And we ate there for lunch and dinner. And I almost cried.
That was a tough day.
Yeah, I almost cried when we left after lunch. We can't leave. We have to stay here.
We had to go up the Pyrenees, and there was a fog. There was huge fog,
Thank
and we had
God
to turn around
fog.
And go back.
Thank God for the fog. I think God was on my side. He said, no, Tony Foreman, you are not taking this woman away from the chef.
No.
And we went back, and we spent the night, all the staff. I mean, we had such an amazing, amazing time.
When we come back on the program, we're going to head north. To worse weather, but beautiful places in Champagne and Alsace on Foreman & Wolf
Champagne.
In Food & Wine.
Great.